This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 162.
Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where it's all about empowering you to run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we talk about running streaks, the secrets of running every day. Angie's going to give you some tips on how to safely do a running streak. Plus, we talk with a couple of people who've been maintaining a running streak for 25 to 30 years. And to get help reaching your goals in 2016, now's a great time to join the Academy and learn how to take your marathon training to the next level. Just head over to our website to find out more. That's marathontrainingacademy.com. Well, I guess we have a big announcement, Angie. We were accepted into the Berlin Marathon for 2016. We're pretty excited about that. It's kind of like excited and scared at the same time. Because, you know, it's a huge undertaking, but it's going to be fun, and glad we got in.
That's right. We've got lots of logistics to figure out in the next few months, but we're excited. We hope to meet some MTA listeners over in Germany.
There's actually a handful of people in the Academy who are also doing that race, so we're going to have a meetup over there. Neither Angie or I have been to Germany before, so if anyone has tips on traveling in the country or specifically about the Berlin Marathon, give us a heads up if you know something that'd be helpful. Just send it over to trevor@marathontrainingacademy.com. And of course, that'll be an epic race recap episode next year, right?
It'll definitely be world famous.
Yes, we're really bringing the world into world famousness. We can do the whole we can do the whole recap in German because you're going to learn it before then, right?
I'm sure that'd be very painful for German speakers to listen to.
And also, I'm signed up for next year's New Orleans Rock and Roll Marathon. It's in February. My dad and I, in fact, are going to be there together. He's doing the half. I'm doing the full, so that's going to be fun.
You're doing the full?
Yeah.
I thought you signed up for the half.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
I thought you were both doing the half together.
No, I'm doing the full, so I've really amped up the training.
Yeah, okay. Do some nice long runs over Christmas time.
And you were signed up for the Lost Dutchman Marathon outside of Phoenix and also the Fargo Marathon in North Dakota next year. What else? Is that it so far?
That's all I've committed to. I'm kind of looking for a North Carolina race, possibly in the month of March.
Yeah.
And we'll be traveling this summer out west, hopefully going to your cousin's wedding. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we're looking for something in California during that time. And I'm sure there'll be lots of fall races, too. Just those are all still being thought of.
I think next year is going to be a great year. We look forward to meeting a lot of you and seeing a lot of you at different races and connecting with you online and in the Academy. This episode's a great one. We're going to talk about running streaks. So that's something that came out of Angie's running this year. And before we get into that, there's some folks out there who we're just going to give a quick shout out to because they're doing some great things and just want to spread the motivation around.
This note comes from Missy. She says, I recently finished my second marathon, the Rock and Roll Las Vegas. It went so much better than my first 3 years ago. My goal time was 4:30, which I didn't hit. However, I finished in 4:38, which is an 8-minute PR. The fueling advice given to me was spot on. This gal is happy this morning, albeit a little bit sore.
That sounds like it was a fun race, and congratulations, Missy, at that marathon and setting an 8-minute PR and getting your fueling figured out. It's a big puzzle for a lot of runners. Not easy to get figured out, so you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
This next note comes from my coaching client, Sharon. She says, shout out to Angie for helping me meet my goal of finishing a marathon feeling good rather than hurting. I got a 1-hour and 10-minute PR at the Philadelphia Marathon. It was a great experience to be surrounded by 30,000 fellow runners and cheered on by so many fans. When else do we get cheered on? And her official finishing time was 4:04, so definitely a big day for her.
Mm. Congratulations, Sharon, on 4 hours and 4 minutes and 40 seconds. A lot of fours right in there. It's a great time.
This next note is from Sasha. She also ran the Philly Marathon. She says, I recently finished my first full marathon ever, and I've officially become an addict. Best day of my life, and I'm still a little shocked over how it flew by. But I am definitely going to be repeating that crazy journey again. My finish time was 4:03. I didn't crack 4 hours, but for the first time, it gives me a perfect goal for next time. Thanks so much for all the advice and great support from the MTA community. And Sasha is a college student working on her nursing degree. So she's definitely taken on a lot with marathon training as well, but very successful. And we're very proud of her.
A marathoner and a nurse. That sounds familiar.
Great combination.
I wish I would have gotten into running marathons when I was in college.
I thought you were going to say you wished to become a nurse.
No. Congratulations, Sasha, on running your first marathon and coming in at such a good time. And it's been great to have you in the academy.
We also like to say congratulations to Jessica. She says, I just finished my first half marathon. I can't think of a better way to celebrate 6 months of running. From struggling through a few miles to completing a half with hills in 2 hours and 4 minutes. I'm totally elated right now.
Well, awesome. It's a great feeling to finish your first half marathon. None of us need to lose that joy of running and accomplishing things. And congrats to you, Jessica, on reaching that goal. And keep up the good work. I'm sure you got some great momentum now. Well, now we want to get into this episode's feature segment. We're going to talk about running streaks. I think you're going to find it very fascinating. We got a couple folks we're going to bring on to share their experience with running streaks. So let's go ahead and get into that right now. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. So, Angie, what can you tell me about streaking?
Well, running streaks in particular, I do know a little bit about, I suppose. I started my running streak last Thanksgiving, so it would have been in November of 2014. I was initially inspired by the Runner's World holiday running streak, where you run from Thanksgiving Day until New Year's Day.
But it has nothing to do with running naked.
No, it does not. So once New Year's Day arrived, I was still enjoying the streak quite a bit, and I decided that I wanted to try to do a year-long running streak, which would take it into November of 2015. And so I kind of set out in the new year with that goal in mind, and it definitely changed how I approached my running this year. I really feel like it broadened my running experience, and it didn't get old like I thought it would. Obviously, there were a lot of days where it was very challenging to get out there in different weather conditions or when we were traveling in new locations, but it was really fun. I got to run in many different states. I got to run on a cruise ship at different times during the day, and so I really tried to find ways to make it interesting.
So I remember some of the creative ways that you try to get your running streak done, like when we were with the kids and we were in Canyonlands National Park in Utah, and we were out hiking around, and you just kept running up and down, back and forth the trail, away from us and back to us, away just to get a mile in.
Yeah, we were doing hiking with the kids, but it wasn't running, so I needed to get my mile in that day. So I did, would run down the trail and then back to the group that was hiking and then back and forth. So yeah, that was one creative way that I got my mile in that day.
And then there were times where we were traveling and we got back home late, like at 11 o'clock, and you hadn't gotten your run in that day. So you changed and went out and ran a mile before going to bed.
That's right. Yeah, typically I'm a morning runner, and I would say probably the majority of my runs were done in the morning. But sometimes if we would have to leave super early in the morning and I wouldn't really have time for a shower and things like that, then I would save it for the evening. So it was interesting, definitely. I think probably the hardest miles that I did were after my 40-mile ultra and then my 50-miler.
Sure.
Just because I was really sore and stiff that day. So, you know, that first mile.
That was just like shuffling.
It was kind of like, you know, things were hurting and it took a while to get my body warmed up. But I really feel like it helped me build up my endurance as I trained for my ultra marathons this year, because I had to get used to running on tired legs. I had to test and stretch my body, find ways to run every day without getting injured. And so, you know, it was very interesting, very challenging. Definitely something that I'm really glad I did. I finished my streak on Thanksgiving Day, and I don't plan on continuing my streak beyond that year point. So I've already broken it, but I'm, you know, really happy that I did it. And I think at some point in the future, I'll probably do another running streak of some length.
So you went for a whole year. You went at least a mile a day. The original challenge from Runner's World was to go from Thanksgiving to New Year's. What made you decide to extend it and do it for a whole year?
I don't know. I guess I was just feeling good. I had been doing some investigation about running streaks, and to be part of an official running streak, you had to have a running streak of at least a year. And I thought, wow, I wonder if I could do a whole year. You know, looking forward into the future, I knew there'd be a lot of trips that we were taking. But I just thought it'd be a really good way to challenge myself. It's something I'd never done before, and I like to experiment on myself lot. And, you know, when you've been running for many years, sometimes it's nice just to change it up a bit. So this was one way where I could keep it new and interesting and just see what the running streak's all about.
Prior to this, how many days on average do you think you were running?
I was running 5 days a week before I started my streak. So on 2 days a week, I would probably only run one or two very easy miles. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I significantly bumped up my mileage. I would say I probably kept it pretty similar. But on those previous rest days or non-running days, I would just do maybe 1 to 2 miles easy.
Yeah. And we've heard from quite a few folks since you've been doing this that have started running streaks of their own. So for anybody who's doing a streak or interested in trying one, we want to give you some guidelines that Angie put together to help you do it safely and successfully.
That's right. The first thing that I would recommend is not to start a running streak if you're currently struggling with injury or currently struggling with overtraining, or if you're just coming back from an injury. This is going to probably only worsen your problem. It'll be too much for your body to deal with. The second guideline is that it's not a good idea to start a running streak if you're a brand new runner. Doing too much too soon is not a smart way to begin your running journey. So it's much better to slowly build up the number of running days per week to make sure that you stay injury free. So for example, if you're only running 3 days a week, then bumping it up to 7 days a week would not be a good idea. I mentioned that I was running 5 days a week previous to starting my running streak and doing it injury free. So going up to 7 days a week wasn't that huge of a leap. So just make sure that you're very careful and listen to your body. And if you're a new runner, then, you know, I would discourage a running streak or approach it with great caution.
One of the causes of injury you'll hear people talk about is a sudden increase in training volume.
That's right.
So you don't want to jump from 3 days a week to seven, you know, from zero to hero.
Exactly.
That's the way you can get injured.
Now, when many people hear the word streak, they instantly think of the clothesless variety of streaking. And obviously, there may be some people who do running streaks clothes-free. I don't know of any, but I highly recommend that you do all your running in appropriate running clothes. The fourth guideline is that if you're going to be running every day, have two different pairs of running shoes to alternate. Since you'll probably be running in inclement weather, such as rain or snow, this allows each pair to have a little downtime and a chance to dry out in between. And alternating your running shoes can actually extend the life of your shoes, and it also challenges your foot muscles in different ways if you use two different types. So make sure you have a couple pairs of good running shoes before you jump into a streak.
And if you're like Angie, you can have 8 different pairs of running shoes.
That's right. One for each day, and then a bonus pair. The fifth guideline is to do your runs that take place on your previous non-running days at a very easy pace. So in other words, you don't want to run hard every single day. That's a recipe for injury. If you track your heart rate, try to keep your easy runs in zone 2. A quick way to calculate zone 2 is to subtract your age from 180 for your upper heart rate. So for example, I'm 36. I'm 37 now.
Yeah.
Whoops. So for example, for me, I'm 37. So I take 180 minus 37. That would give me 143. So I try to keep my heart rate below 143 beats per minute on my easy days. The sixth guideline is to look for creative ways to accomplish your mile, such as working it into your normal schedule. You can run your mile while you're on your lunch break, while waiting to pick up a child from an activity, before your normal yoga class, on a treadmill. If you're traveling, you can run laps around a rest stop. You can run on a cruise ship. You can even run in the airport. You could just pretend you're late for a flight. So you can just try running a different time of day for more variety. One time I did 2 miles at 11:40 p.m. and then 3 miles just after midnight, which would have been technically the next day. So there's many different ways to get it done, and you'll add a lot more variety to your running by doing a running streak. And the seventh guideline is to deal with complications. Obviously, stuff happens and you may get sick. So the bottom line is that your overall health is more important than keeping a running streak going. So you really need to use caution and common sense while sick. There are definitely very good reasons to break a running streak. With that said, there are some people who somehow manage to run through things like chemotherapy. So each person is individual. Make sure you're listening to your body and don't jeopardize your overall health in order to accomplish a running streak.
All right. Thank you, Angie. Now we want to talk with Brian Bierman, who is going to answer some questions that we asked him about his first year of doing a running streak. He was actually inspired by you doing that Runner's World Challenge, and he's a listener to the show here. So we're going to go ahead and get his take on what his first year of running every day was like.
Okay, we're on the podcast now with Brian Bierman from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's a podcast listener. He's done 39 marathons, and he started his running streak on January 1st, 2015, inspired, I think, by Angie's running streak. So, Brian, welcome to the MTA podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Did I get that right? Did you get the idea from us to do that? Or
that's exactly right. Maybe I saw it on Facebook, but I remember originally, Angie, you had started the streak to go from Thanksgiving to Christmas or New Year's. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes, and I, you know, I was at the point where, you know, I'm 52, you're slowing down a little bit, and I'm the type that I really don't need motivation to run every day. I've never had any problem getting up every morning and running, but, you know, you kind of look for things to keep it interesting here and there, and, you know, I've been targeting 50 marathons. I'm still a few years away from that, but when I heard about the streak, I thought, boy, that sounds like a lot of fun, and as a six-day-a-week runner anyways, it really... You know, I didn't think it would be that difficult to add the additional day.
Awesome. So what do you do for a living?
I am a certified public accountant.
That's awesome.
And tell us why you started running in the first place. How'd you get into it?
Oh, I was 33 years old. I had played tennis through college and until about the time I was 28 when, what do you know, our son showed up. And I really didn't do anything for about 5 years after that. I came home from a business trip. I was 25 pounds heavier than I had been 5 years earlier. My wife pinched the spare tire and made a crack. And that's all it took. That day, you know, I started eating better. That night I got on the exercise bike. A friend talked me into running. And then he talked me into running my first marathon, which was Marine Corps in 97. And, you know, here we are 39 marathons later.
So I'm sure there have been some challenging days to run and keep your streak going. Can you look back and think of any days where either your time got really tight or you weren't feeling well and it was hard to get out there?
Not really. I mean, one of the things I've learned, and really with, you know, I have a son that's a total fitness and nutrition freak and another friend who's very knowledgeable in this area. And I think I've been proactive here, but you know, when you get older, you can't just keep doing things the same way you always have. You know, I'm not 35 anymore. I'm not 40. And I've really learned that nutrition plays a really huge role in how you feel every day, how you run, how you recover. And I will tell you that one of your podcasts that changed, that maybe was the biggest change for me over the last couple of years, was Steve Bourne from Hammer Nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And that was a long time ago. You've been listening for quite a while.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was probably, I don't know, about 2 years ago, because I want to say that's about the time.
In podcasting years, that's a long time.
Okay. That's probably about the time when I learned how important it was to put back the proteins and carbs after your run.
Sure.
You know, for years you hear carbo load the night before, carbo load the night before, but I never really knew that's when your muscles are most receptive to replenishing. And I would say as a result of that, my legs just feel really fresh every day. I do a lot of foam rolling and I use the stick. But really the nutrition, I mean, we've gone, I don't want to say over the edge, but you know, we're just eating great at home now. We've always done pretty well, but really focusing on eating the right foods, eating organic, eating smart. And, I think it just makes a huge difference in the way I feel every day. And, I haven't really had that many challenges. I've had a couple of early morning flights. I've been on my treadmill at home at 3 a.m.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of fun. It's, you know, it adds to the story a little bit. But I never really ran for a couple of days after a marathon before. So that was a little challenging, I will say. But, you know how it is, Angie and Trevor. After that first mile, you start to feel a little better. And I am 100% sure that running every day, even 2 or 3 miles for about 4 or 5 days after a marathon, that you recover better than by not running at all for a week. Mm-hmm. So I'm really become a big believer in that. You know, by Saturday after a marathon, my legs now feel better than they did when I was taking, you know, a bunch of days off.
And I think that's something, you know, that as an experienced runner, you can really experiment with your body and, you know, figure out these new things that you can just flush that lactic acid out of your muscles and, you know, feel a lot fresher. You know, I wouldn't recommend something like that, obviously, to a brand new runner. But, right. You know, you've been doing this enough years that it's good to discover new things that work for you, like you said.
Oh, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, one of the great things I love about the sport anyways is you never stop learning. And what's really hard, you know, when you do, you know, maybe one or two marathons a year, that's, you know, training runs are great, but you can't simulate the real thing until you're in it. So, you know, that's when you learn the most. But like I said, you just never stop learning, I think, if you approach it the right way.
Yeah. So a question I have for you is, I guess you don't have any plans on finalizing your streak. You're just going to kind of take it as far as you can go with it, or what?
I don't see any reason to stop. You know, like I said, I run 6 days a week as it is. And, you know, I'm an early morning runner. I generally don't run less than 5 miles a day. But on those, you know, and Monday was always my day off. So what I'm doing now on Mondays is usually a 3 mile run, you know, to still try to get some active recovery. And, you know, some days I've just done a mile. So I don't see any reason why not to continue it. You know, my family is supportive, which, you know, you can't do things like this without, you know, we're all avid runners and athletes, and my son's a former college baseball player, so he's behind it 100% and gives me a lot of nutrition tips and stretching tips. So, you know, we'll see how long we can go.
That's good. You know, I like how you got your nutrition dialed in and you're proactive on your injury prevention with foam rolling and everything. And I'm glad that you've been able to figure out your body and, you know, how to make it work.
Yeah, I think so. And I did, you know, there were some years actually about 10 years ago when, you know, getting up in the morning, the steps were a little bit slower. And, you know, I felt like my joints were talking back at me a little bit. And at that point, I started learning a little bit about fish oils and glucosamine chondroitin. And that's, you know, that's all I use. And honestly, and I do a fair amount of work with resistance bands okay. for my legs, and my knees feel great every day. I don't know how, with 18 years of, and I pretty much run exclusively on asphalt. I don't do trails because I know I will trip and sprain an ankle if I do a trail. But you know, it takes some work, but it's a challenge. It's, you know, it's fun.
Trevor's 35 and he still doesn't manage.
Hey, I'm healthy. I'm the specimen of health.
I do remember the ankle story from Marine Corps last year.
And then the Keeley story from this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I do like the trails. I do like to push it too much on the trails, I guess. Well, congratulations on your running streak. And thank you so much for talking with us.
And thank you for everything that you do. I work with small and medium-sized companies, so I have a soft spot for what you guys are doing. And thank you, Angie, for starting the streak, for giving me the idea.
Well, congratulations, and keep up the great work.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, thank you, Brian, for letting us interview you and being on the show. Thanks for being a loyal listener as well. And congrats on streaking for a year.
That's right. Brian and I are kind of like the baby streakers with our year. I know Brian plans to go on. He wants to continue his running streak. So we wish you all the best as you continue to run in 2016.
Now we're going to talk with Mark Washburn, who has been running every day since 1989. He's also the president of the Running Streak Association. So let's go ahead and talk with Mark Washburn, running streak extraordinaire, right now. Okay, we're on the podcast now with Mark Washburn. He lives in Mendham, New Jersey with his wife, Diane. He's an associate professor of history and political science at County College of Morris in New Jersey. He's run at least 3 miles a day since December 31st, 1989. And is a president of the United States Running Streak Association, as well as the Streak Runners International. And you can find Mark at runeveryday.com. So, Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Angie.
That's quite the, you know, you've really accomplished a lot so far in running. And I think when we were communicating before this interview, you said that you have your 30th marathon coming up on this Sunday. Is that correct?
Well, it's Saturday, but it's okay. The Richmond Marathon, yes.
Awesome. Is that one you've done before?
I had never done it before, so it was on my list to try. And I just got married in July, so my wife, Diane, and I wanted to, you know, go to a destination. Or it's, I've been listening to your podcast, a runcation, is that
yes,
correct?
That's right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, tell us why you started the running streak. You know, what was the impetus behind wanting to run every day?
Well, it's kind of started as a fluke. Before I became a teacher, I had a lot of different jobs. One was I was a stockbroker, and I had to go to a training session in Detroit for 3 weeks. And, of course, I organized everybody to run. And so I got back, and I had run 3 weeks in a row. And then, of course, I went to my handy log and found out that I had once done 50 days in a row training for my first marathon, the New Jersey Waterfront Marathon back in 1985. So I was like, I wonder if I can reach 50 days. So I did reach 50 days, and today it's 9,445 consecutive days.
So you just kept on going.
I hear you have a running streak too, Angie.
I started it the day before Thanksgiving of last year.
Was that part of the runner's world?
It did. I decided I wanted to do the holiday run streak. And so for our community, I kind of put it out there for anyone who was interested in joining me. And, you know, several people did. And then I got to the new year and I thought, well, this is going well. We'll just see how far I can and take this and everything.
Keep on going. We found in 2013 for Thanksgiving, Runner's World ran the run every day from Thanksgiving to New Year's, and that was our biggest start day.
Yes.
It used to be January 1st, but that one particular day, it's like November 27th or 28th.
Yes.
In 2013, we had our biggest group, people like you who just started for that holiday period and just continue to go on.
That was one reason I wanted to do this podcast around, you know, towards the end of November, because I know a lot of people will be thinking about a running streak, and, you know, we want to kind of dig into it more and, you know, give them some guidelines on how to get going. And so, you know, maybe tell us, for those who aren't familiar, what does an official running streak involve?
Well, a running streak is, we've toyed around with the rules. Right now, it's you have to run 1 mile. We used to put in the word continuous when we first got started, and it became too confusing to people. People were blogging that, you know, like they would run across traffic. They would, what happened was somebody wrote in and said that if I tie my shoes, does it count? And it got 250 responses. People were starting to use profanity on our Facebook page. So I had actually changed it before that. I had changed the rule. We also had something about no crutches or no braces. And I had someone who was disabled write to me and said that they thought that was unfair. So for that purpose, I changed it. And I also I took out the word continuous. So as long as you run a mile a day, we're good with you.
That's really neat. So for your own personal streak, you said that you've been running 3 miles a day. Were there any days where you just weren't sure that you could keep your streak going?
Yes, of course, like everybody else. I have, you know, had a host of injuries along the way, from Achilles injuries to plantar fasciitis to hamstring issues. My hamstring issues seemed to be the big one. I was running on a trail with my running friends, and I tripped over a rock going downhill, and I caught myself, but in catching myself, I pulled my hamstring, and of course, it was the farthest distance from where we parked the car, so I had to run back, and the next day was very painful. I was able to, I think I was doing like 14, 15-minute miles. And because I'd always done 3 miles, yeah, after doing the first mile, I was like, okay, I qualified for the Streak Association, but my personal goal was always to do 3 miles. So I continue to go on.
So even if because of an injury or something, you're slowed down to like maybe a speed walk, but you get your mile in, does it still count?
It does. We don't have a minimum time. We've had people, we actually had a man who had a streak of over 40 years who had polio. And so his, you know, average miles were pretty slow. He never had done a race, and I think he never did more than 3 miles ever per day, but he ran over 40 years. His name's John Simpson from Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, and he just ended his streak this summer, but he's been an inspiration to all of us. So we don't have a minimum time, but you do have to do a mile. You have to run a mile and not walk a mile, run a mile.
So how did this organization, the United States Running Streak Association, come to be? And like, how did you get all these people together and find out how long they've been doing it?
Sure. It started in, I guess the impetus started from a man named George Hancock from Pennsylvania in 1994. He was running for Runner's Gazette. It's kind of a Northeast running newspaper. It's still out there. George, I think the story is he himself had a streak, and then someone wrote in, I wonder how many people have streaks. So he started writing to running magazines. He started writing to running clubs throughout the country, and he put a list together. The original list, I have it in my notes. I think it had like 50 or 60 people on it. I should find that up. But so from there, he put that list together. In the late night, I wasn't on the original list, although I had already started my running streak. Somewhere along the way, I found out about it. It ended up being on David Bilecki's ultra marathon website in the late 1990s. This is how extreme we were considered back then. They put us, you know, what do we do with this streak list? So they put us on this list, and we started, we were on that. And from there, a man named John Strumsky from Maryland, he decided to take the list that George Hancock had put together and, you know, was being kept up by Dave Bilecki. He decided to form the United States Running Streak Association. So that was 2000. He got his first newsletter out in 2001. I got the newsletter. I thought, boy, this is so cool. So I joined immediately. Usually I'm a late adapter, but in this case, I was an early adapter. And I became the 13th person on the United States Running Streak Membership Association. Fast forward, in 2011, John's streak had already ended after about 25 years. He was in his 70s, and he asked who wanted to take it over. So it actually ended up between me and a guy from Washington State. And I really think they gave it to me because I was willing to drive to Maryland to pick up the file. So
you're closer.
I was a little closer. So I drove to his house in Maryland, picked up the files. And so that was 2011, April. From there, I started getting emails from people from around the world saying that, why can't we join the United States Running Streak Association? Well, it is called the United States Running Streak Association. So I talked to our board, and I said, why don't we start taking people from around the world? I had to go through our web guy. Our web guy really controls our lives here. He, you know, whatever he wants, we do. So he said, fine, he would put a list together. So that's what happened. 2012, we formed Streak Runners International. And now we have people from around the world, including the number one streak runner in the world. His name's Ron Hill. He is from England. Ron was the three-time Olympian from Great Britain. He also was the winner of the 1970 Boston Marathon. So he's an elite runner. He started his streak in December of 1964, December 21st. And so he has now gone over 50 years without missing a day.
Wow, that is amazing. Do you find that a certain personality type is more driven toward a running streak? I mean, I'm kind of thinking maybe more type A people who like to keep track of numbers and things like that. Or what do you find is typical?
You are so nice, Angie, because the number one question I get from journalists, and I've been interviewed from people around the world, are you obsessive? That's the number one question.
I would never ask that as a fellow
runner. I know, well,
runner.
Because you do it yourself. But we always get the obsessive question, and we do have people who have tested, and they'll admit that they have been tested for being OCD. We like to say we're dedicated.
Right.
We're not obsessed. You have to have a certain amount of dedication, you know, and you have to enjoy running, obviously. That's part of the whole process. But we do get a lot of numbers, people, too. I mean, you know, in keeping track, we put together a newsletter that's sent out quarterly and has been sent out since our organization was formed. And we get a lot of statistics from people. They love their little statistics.
So do you have any tips for people who are wanting to start a running streak, like some things that you've learned through the years, you know, how to do it right, how to be in it for the long haul?
Yeah. Well, I think running, and you probably have the same experience, when you first do it, it's painful. But after about 6 months, if you're consistent, you kind of get addicted to it. So I wouldn't, start. If you've never run, say, I'm going to start a running streak. But I think that consistency helps. A lot of people, they start running and then they come up with an excuse like, oh, I've got this. And then it seems like they come up with more excuses than more reasons to run. So for us, we take that out of there. Our question isn't, will we run that day? It's, how can I get my mile in? Or for my case, how can I get my 3 miles in? So we changed the conversation a little bit. And, and now I wouldn't miss it. I usually run in the morning. If I do a night race, I'll be saying to myself, oh my gosh, I'm going through withdrawal. I've got to get out there and run. I get nervous that I'm going to, you know, something's going to happen to me so that I'm not going to make that race. So actually, the last couple of years, I do like a mile in the morning. So if I have to do a race that night, just to...
Some cushion.
Yeah, just a little cushion.
So what I'm wondering is if you ever had to go through dramatic lengths to get your 3 miles in, like maybe running in a really confined space or running at 3 a.m. because of travel or something like that.
I have... A lot of people in our association have a lot better stories than I do. I mean, we have people who have submitted stories to us about running in hospital rooms. You know, one guy sent a picture. He had like a 30-some-year streak. So there's a picture of him in his, hospital gown and his daughter pulling the IV behind him as he's running through the hospital room. Couple women now that have said that they've run while they were pregnant and obviously right after they had given birth. So, I mean, hats off to them. I don't know how they do that. I don't have anything to meet that kind of goal, but, I go on vacation and things like that to meet it.
That's neat.
Probably the most creative thing that Angie had to do in this last year to keep her streak was rain on the deck of a cruise ship, right?
Yes.
I have done that, yeah. Yes.
Surprisingly uncrowded up there usually in the morning.
Yes. No, I did it back in the 80s, so I'm wondering it might be a little difficult with a GPS watch to figure out.
Yeah, I really wasn't getting a good reading, so I had to just, measure like how far around the deck it was and
yes.
keep track of my yeah. laps that way. And they also had treadmills in the gym, which was kind of a weird feeling, because you're feeling the rise and fall of the ship as well. It kind of made me a little sick to my stomach, but you do what you have to do, and it was a fun challenge. And I felt better, I think, on vacation. You know, when you are being active every single day, whether it's running or something else, you just feel better.
Right, yeah, absolutely. We have all different kinds of people. We just got a treadmill here in our house, so I counted 5 miles for the first time this year after my running streak hit over 25 years. But so I've always tried to run outside, although I've been saying that, and then I went through my logbook and found that I ran at our YMCA. They had a running route at the YMCA, and I did that a couple times. But I mostly ran outside. We've had some amazing runners in our group. One is Robert Kraft, the Raven from Florida. I don't know if you've heard of him, mm-hmm. but he runs in Miami Beach. He always runs on the beach. He's been featured in...
Oh, I have heard of that guy.
Yes,
yeah.
Now that you mention it. I just read about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's amazing, but he's always run the same... he's always run on the beach.
Yes.
I know he changes his loop a little bit, but he always runs on the beach. I think his minimum's over 5.5 miles, mm-hmm. although he mostly does an 8-mile loop. And he's run in hurricanes and, crazy things like that. And for me, that's more difficult. At least I go on vacation, I do this, and but he's always run the same loop. So he's an amazing athlete himself.
Who else stands out, a streaker that maybe like some of the top people who you know?
Well, our number one guy right now is John Sutherland. He's from California. He started his streak in 1969. He has run over, I think, 190,000 lifetime miles, and he doesn't even hold the record in our group. We have another guy named Herb Fred from Texas who has run over 250,000 lifetime miles. Although in the case of John Sutherland, he's had this consistent American streak. I should say Ron Hill has a longer streak, but he's second in the world. He's the number one guy in America. Herb Fred, 250,000 lifetime miles. So I'm sure you've all looked into how far it is between the Earth and Moon. I realize it changes, it varies. The average is around 240,000 miles away. So he's literally run to the Moon. He's on his way back now. That's how far he's gone.
It's just amazing to think about. So, have you had to communicate with people and they've had to end their streak for one reason or another? And I imagine like long lasting streaks, it's kind of like almost like a death,
It is,
it's like a huge change for somebody, kind of a lot of grief that would go into it maybe.
A lot of, and some of, the, I get that it takes them a while to even tell me.
Yeah.
They have to, it's kind of going through a mourning period. not surprising, a lot of people who have ended long streaks start up again. You know, some of them are lifetime, they're trying to get their lifetime mileage up. But most of the people, it's because of some kind of injury or they might have a family emergency. Our web guy, he had a 25-year streak, Steve Morrow from Minnesota, and he had a family emergency, so he couldn't run one day. But he started up again. And so we have people like that. But the number one reason people stop is some kind of injury out there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One final question. What kind of response have you got from non-runners when you tell them you're a streaker?
It really depends. It's kind of funny. I have a friend who's an ultra marathoner, and I remember posting about my running streak one time, and he goes, "This is crazy. Of course you should take a day off. What's that all about?" And I'm like, "But you do ultra marathons and you've done Ironmans and you think I'm crazy. I mean, you know, all I do is do like a mile or 3 miles, you know, three. First of all, to be in part of our association, a mile a day. So when you think about it, it's, you know, most people can do a mile in 10 minutes or 11 minutes. So it's 10 minutes out of your life every day, you know. So it's just a fun challenge for people to take. And you know, it gives them consistency in their exercise, which a lot of people desire.
That's right, yeah, especially through the holidays and getting through the start of the winter months when it can be hard to motivate yourself to get out there. So, yeah, I think it's been really good for me. And this year was kind of the first year I started doing ultra marathons, and I really feel like it helped me build up my endurance for even going longer. I will say that the day after a 40 or 50 miler, that mile is very painful.
Yes, although we found that 2 days after it's even more painful. The day after, it's kind of like, yeah, I kind of need to shake something out. And then you get really stiff that second day. That might have been harder, but.
Yeah, well, I've appreciated talking with you and getting your perspective on everything. Congratulations on what you've been able to accomplish. And good luck with your 30th marathon coming up this weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, let me know if you, with this blog, send it to me and I'll put it on our Facebook page. And
okay, sounds
so
good.
So people can listen to it.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, that was fun talking with Mark. Thank you, Mark, for being on the MTA podcast. And what an inspiration to have run every day nonstop since 1989. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, and he's done at least 3 miles a day since then. So you can see people who do running streaks have various goals. Some of them do a minimum of the mile. Some of them do more. You know, he set the bar high. He obviously stays busy running marathons as well. So definitely a great person to be president of the Running Streak Association.
Yes. And one of the well-known members of the association is Judy Mick. She's also a member of the Academy, and she's an avid runner and has done a running streak for 3 decades. So we wanted to be sure to talk with Judy because her story is really fun to listen to, and we're going to ask her about her amazing running streak and all that good stuff. So let's go ahead and get into that conversation with Judy right now.
All right, we're on the podcast now with Judy Mick. She's from Roanoke, Virginia, lives there with her husband. She's run every day since 1985 and has also written a book called Spectacular Streakers, which is a compilation of stories from running streakers, and you can find that on Amazon. So, Judy, welcome to the MTA podcast.
Well, thank you. I am happy to be here, honored to be here, actually.
Thank you. So, what do you do for a living?
Well, my life is really kind of convoluted. My husband and I own a Dairy Queen. And we're hands-on, so that can get kind of crazy. And I have a couple online retail businesses. And plus, I'm a running coach. And plus, I go out of town once a week to take care of my elderly mom.
How do you manage to fit running in all that?
Well, everybody knows that the running's going to come first. Even if I have to get up at 4 or 4:30, which I did yesterday, it's going to happen first.
Well, probably the running is what keeps you sane and gives you the energy in order to do everything else.
Exactly. I can't imagine my life all these years if I hadn't been running.
Mm. So kind of take us back to when you first started running. Tell us about how that came to be.
Well, there's actually 2 times I started running. The first time I was a kid, I mean, we were talking back in the 60s, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, and my dad and I would run together. And we'd run like a mile around the neighborhood. And then for some reason, we just stopped, I guess. Things happened. You know, he ran a retail clothing store, so he got busy and we all got busy. And it's really kind of funny back then because I grew up in a small town. And back in the 60s, you just didn't go out and get running shoes. So I don't know how old you are. You remember PF flyers, but I'd put on my PF flyers and around the world we'd go. But then the real running started when I was in college. I was, a junior in college. And my roommate and best friend and I decided we needed to get off some of the pounds that you put on your first couple years in college. And she also wanted to catch the eye of a guy on the cross country team. So we thought, well, we're going to go out and hit the track. And we did. And I've just been running ever since. And she actually married the cross country guy.
Worked out well for both of you, I guess.
It's perfect. And that's how I started running, just to get off beer and pizza weight in college.
Now, somehow it turned into a running streak. Tell us what the motivation was behind that.
Well, it's really kind of weird because, like, this would have been back, you know, in the 80s. And to back up the story about us starting running, it's really kind of funny because back then there wasn't a lot of runners, you know, and you just kind of went out and just did whatever you did. But when I still lived in West Virginia before my husband and I had been married just a couple of years. And some of my running buddies and I, a couple guys, we just decided, hey, let's just start running every day. And we didn't know there was such a thing as a streak association. We just did it. Something that we did. You know, the 70s and 80s were a weird time. You know, there wasn't a lot of women running back then. And my husband, bless his little heart, he's the most supportive thing I could ever have. But I would get into a car on a Saturday morning with, you know, four or five guys, and he wouldn't think anything about it. He was just like, yeah, whatever. You know, a couple of the guys, their wives were a little, is she going with you again? And it was just like, come on, we're hot, we're sweaty, we could care less about, you know. But it was fun, and we just kept running every day.
Wow. So 1980s, you had like probably wristbands and headbands and long white socks.
Tube socks. Yeah, baby.
Velcro shoes. Did you have Velcro running shoes?
No, I never did that. But I think my very favorite pair of shoes were back in the day, as they say, was Converse, and they were designed by Arthur Lydiard. And I absolutely adored those shoes, and I would still wear them today if I could find them. But, the 80s were great. I mean, you know, the very first thing I can remember getting excited about was when, you know, running watches came out. Because I would just wear my regular old watch, and you measured your distance by a car. You didn't have all this other stuff that we have now. And I guess what I miss the most about the older days of running is how easy it was to get into races. I've done Marine Corps 3 times. I've done Disney 3 times. But it was before you had to worry about getting in and being there on your computer first thing. You just sent in your entry form and you went.
Right.
And, it was just a whole nother ballgame then. And in a way, I kind of miss those days.
Yeah, everything was much more straightforward and not as much competition for everything.
Yeah. Angie, can you imagine mailing in a race entry form today?
Yeah, that does seem kind of unusual. Everything's done online now. I mean, some races do still offer, you know, mail in. I was just registering for one yesterday and they said you could mail it in. It had to be postmarked by a certain day. I was like, whoa, I've never seen that before.
Ooh, how old school.
I know.
What's a postmark?
So I'm sure there have been some challenging days to run and keep your streak going. Were there any days where you weren't sure you were able to continue?
The hardest time that ever, I guess, that I had running was when I had shingles. And I had them really kind of bad. I didn't even want to get up out of bed. And luckily I have a treadmill. My husband made me get a treadmill when he was out of town for a while, just because if it was icy, he felt better knowing that I wasn't out on the road, that I was safely in the basement.
Right.
You know? So when I had shingles, I would make myself get up and I would throw on something and go down and do my mile. And actually, my doctor said that it actually made me get over them in 5 days, where, you know, most people take weeks to get over them.
Mm. So, wow. Maybe you just kind of flushed whatever it was out of your system.
Exactly.
So I'm like, we're not hanging around with this crazy woman.
Yes, yeah, my God, get us out of here. That would have been the worst time.
So, yeah, you've been pretty fortunate then to be pretty healthy through the years.
Yeah, you know, knock on something here. I had plantar fasciitis a couple of years ago. Thanks to my chiropractor, I was over that fairly quickly. And I have my calcaneus in my ankle. Well, it'll give me fits every now and then. And I just, you know, tape it up and keep going. And I know what to do for the icing and the exercises. I guess streakers are a different breed. You just learn to adapt. And you don't even think about if you're going to get your run in. It's just, when am I going to do it?
And how, maybe, you know?
Yeah, and you find yourself doing, like, you'd never go anywhere unless the hotel has a treadmill, because you don't know what area you're in. like you could probably run outside, but you might be in a kind of shady part of town. So I always make sure my hotel has a treadmill.
So for people interested in starting a running streak, any advice that you can give them?
Just get out and do it. Don't listen to the people that say, you know, running every day hurts this, hurts that. It's going to, you know, kill your knees or whatever. Just get out and do it. Now, you do need to listen to your body more so probably. Like if you do feel something kind of blitchy, it's what I call it. You know, you might want to back off a day.
Back off in what way?
Back off, like back off mileage. Maybe Gotcha. Don't, like if it's a speed work day, don't do it. Maybe just go out and do an easy mile to keep your streak alive. But then you'll find out that, you know, your minimum day becomes bigger. Like I know, like I never run for less than 2 miles now. And some streakers, 3 miles is their minimum. A lot of it's just mindset. You can't listen to the negative people, and nothing irritates me more than people that says they can't find time to run. Because trust me, my crazy life, you know, you can find time to run.
So we talked a little bit about how your running has kind of changed over the years, you know, not only with fashion and technology. Do you feel like your running streak has helped you further your running goals?
I do. Because if it wasn't for the streak, I'm sure I'm like everybody else. There'd be a day where, you know, I'm training for something, but it's like today, the wind's blowing like 40 miles an hour here. That's a day where I'd be like, eh, I don't want to run. But, you know, knowing I've got a race coming up or I'm doing something, you do go out. And I just think a streak just keeps you on top of things more. I really, really do.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So you have a blog called, is it The Streaking Runner?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
We'll be sure to link to that.
Yes, that'll be awesome. We'll put that on our blog for people to go for more information. And, you know, I mean, it's really impressive. You're coming up on 30 years for your streak and going strong. So we're very proud of you, Judy, and it's exciting to have you in our community.
Well, I just appreciate you all so much.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Judy.
Yes.
Thank you all. I was honored that you asked me to do this.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Judy, for speaking with us. And after we spoke with her, she went on to celebrate her 30th year of running every day. And on that anniversary day, she ran 30 miles.
Wow.
So, I think that was her first ultra. So how about that, folks? 30 years doing at least a mile a day and then 30 miles on her anniversary day.
Very amazing.
Yeah. Something I'll never do.
Well, I know... you know, a little bit of what it means to run every day for a year. And so just multiply that by 30 years. You know, it really just strikes me the enormity of the commitment that people who do running streaks have. So, more power to her.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode on running streaks. Angie, if you could just like summarize for people that are wanting to get started, one parting piece of guidance for them, what would you say?
Well, I guess I always come down to doing it in a safe and healthy manner. So, you know, make sure that you're not injured, that you're healthy, that you have a solid running base, and then maybe just commit to a month to start out with. Mm-hmm. You know, commit to getting through the holidays. And then if it continues to go well after that, you know, set your goal bigger. And just listen to your body, have fun with it, and enjoy all that running has to offer.
All right. And if you want to get the links that were mentioned and the show notes to this episode, head over to our website. And when you're there, you can check out our training plans, find out about Academy membership, all of its perks. We also have a resource that we recently put out, a free resource called The Runner's Toolbox, where Angie shares her top 8 recommended inexpensive items to help you combat injuries and prevent injuries. It's called The Runner's Toolbox. It's a free digital download. You can find that over on our site as well. Thank you so much for being a listener. It's been a great year here at MTA. We're excited about cranking out 2 more episodes before the year's over. So you can be looking forward to that. But we're so happy to be on this running journey with you. And remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Run on my way, run on my way.